You can open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. It's where we'll be this evening, but I wanted to read this passage in Exodus because this is also where we find this commandment. And then in our study of the Ten Commandments, I had the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And due to scheduling and switching around, rather than just giving someone a new command, we just moved me to the end of April. So I'm out of place, but you already knew that. That's all right. In this study of the Ten Commandments, it's been just so profitable and so good to hear not only from so many men from the congregation, but to pour through God's Word and to be fed in so many different ways. This commandment is right in the middle. It seems to be this hinge point from being all about our relationship with God towards this transition of our relationship with other people. And the most significant relationship that we have with other people is about our parents, to honor our father and your mother. In Ephesians, Paul puts it this way, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." From God's design, the very, very beginning, when Adam and Eve are united in something incredible and something special, and then in those moments, you know, it's set of how to be a family, of how to have a family. That blessing is to be one that comes from God, that is to be asked from by God and to be blessed by Him. It is something of great significance and shouldn't be taken lightly. It is part of God's design, that family relationship, and it is supposed to be held with great importance and in great honor. There are throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament, there are many scriptures that speak to how a parent is their responsibility to their child, the requirements of a child, and even the discipline of a child. You know, and children are to be viewed as this gift or this heritage from God. They are to be asked for from God. Parents are to love their children. They should pray for and bless their children. Parents should sternly discipline and punish their children and correct their course to make sure that they're on a righteous course. "For he who spares the rod hates his son, and he who loves his son disciplines him diligently." Parents are to have authority over their children. The parents are to provide for their family. Parents are to be responsible to save up for their children's future. Parents are not to provoke their children to anger. And they're to be concerned about the ways of their household, that their example is meaningful. The requirements of the children. Children are to obey and listen to their parents. Yes, it says listen. And it also says obey. It seems like we just can't do one of those. We need to do all of those things. Children are to honor your father and mother. Everyone shall fear or have this reverence for his mother and father. Children are to hear the instruction of their father and not forsake the law of their mother. A wise child makes a father glad, but a foolish child brings grief to his father and mother. Children are not to rob their father and mother, but children are to take care of their parents. Children are not to curse their parents. Those rebellious children are to be disciplined most extremely. Those who curse their parents or to mistreat their father and mother is to bring on them contempt. Children that curse their father and mother are to be disciplined very strongly, as those who would strike their father and mother. It's sinful for children to take from or to rob their parents. This mistreating of their parents or mistreating of a father, it brings shame and disgrace upon that family. All of these passages throughout Scripture, they speak so much of this relationship and how closely this relationship must be held in balance from tipping too far one way or tipping too far another way. It was just this last week where one of our former first ladies was passed away, and her son was speaking at the eulogy, Mr. Jed Bush, and I believe he had said something about his mother saying something about how she was a dictator with grace, but less on grace, or something to that effect. And I think that speaks to how difficult the balance is. For parents. But we notice as we read through all of these passages, the difficulty that lies here. And that's that the instruction in the commandment is not for the parents. The instruction in the commandment is for the children. The children are to honor your father and mother, and things will go well with you in the land, and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. This is this first commandment with the blessing that's attached to it. We know it's not the first commandment. We know it's the fifth commandment. But this is the one that has this blessing from God attached to it. Blessing shouldn't be all that foreign to us. I mean, at the end of Deuteronomy, it's filled with a whole chapter of blessing of what is to, when you go into the land, if you live a certain way, if you have this close relationship with God, then God is going to bless you with a fruitful family, with fruitful crops, with victory over your enemies. Things will go well with you in the land. And that's followed by a chapter on cursing, that things will not go well for you if you leave God, if you leave that important relationship with God, if you stray from the commandments that God has given you, if you stray from those, it will not go well with you. It will not go well in your family. It will not go well in your crops. It will not go well in your battles with your enemies. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the motivating factor for our curriculum, a motivating factor for parents, a motivating factor for the Israelites of instilling in their young people and in their children a love for the Lord, so that they would grow up loving God and that God would be the most important thing in their life. Verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Always to have these reminders of these important, significant teachings, to be close, to have them as reminders, to know God, to have a closer relationship with Him. And that's why we see Paul repeating this commandment about relationship within the most important of relationships. Relationship with your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I know the question that comes up, the question that arises is, what if my parents blank? Don't believe. What if my parents mistreat me? What if my parents... That seems to be, not to dismiss that question, but that seems to be addressed here within the passage. Because he says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We should have an understanding, and we should know about our parents, whether they are godly and following God and wanting to instill in us truth and wisdom and righteousness from God. And if that is the case, then the things that they are telling me, I need to be obedient to those instructions. I need to seek that out for my life. Because that is the right thing. It's acknowledged here as this is the right thing. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And so you think about this time in Jesus' life where he sort of runs away in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. And this is this boyhood Jesus. The family has gone to Jerusalem to worship, and Jesus, when the family leaves, he stays behind. And as the family seems to travel together in a great group away, Jesus is unable to be located. Every year his parents went to the feast in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. Then they began to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers and listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard from him was amazed, and his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And as a parent who has lost their son in this church building for a matter of minutes, I can speak to the anxiousness. Although I cannot speak to the anxiousness of losing a teenager for 3 days, but you see that there's great significance here. There's great caution here. There's a great deal of concern that his mother has, having lost her son, her oldest son. Her son, in which she knows was born in a very miraculous way, and to lose him, she has a great deal of responsibility for and toward. His response, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So was Jesus obedient to his parents? Did he honor his father and mother? Was this just a lapse? Or was he being obedient to his father and mother in the Lord, doing what was right? If we're going to honor our parents, we must be obedient to them. And whether this was a moment of diversion for Jesus, or whether this was a moment of disobedience for Jesus, he seems to correct that. He seems to share with them what was going on in his heart and in his mind. He is very honest in his response to them, and shows a great deal of wisdom at such a young age of what he is really about and what is really important to him. And then from that point on in his life, it says he grew up in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and within men. We must honor our parents by being obedient to them. Secondly, we must honor our parents by being responsible for them. If you'll turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. There's an issue that arises in the early church where there are some widows who are being overlooked. And in verse 3, Paul says to Timothy, "Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family. And so," this is not me here, I'm reading right from the passage, "and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God." This passage is telling us that if you're going to follow Jesus, if you've committed your life to following Jesus, then there's a responsibility that you have. And that responsibility, if you have children, is to your children. If you have parents, then that responsibility is to your parents. And the matter of which that responsibility is, it's whatever their need is. You're to care for them. Scripture says that this is essentially you repaying them or your grandparents for all of the things that have been invested in you. So if you've been a little ornery part of your life, I would be guilty of, I would say this is the time you need to fix that. But the scripture is pretty clear what our responsibility is. And then as a church family, we may not have immediate access to care for our parents or for our grandparents. They could be, in our family, half a world away. So then our responsibility is within the church family. There are people here within the church family who need caring for, who need support, who need a visit, someone who is really in need. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Paul is speaking to Timothy about the need in the church to for the people within that church to take care of their families. And not just you know, a husband and a wife and their child or their children, but that responsibility goes beyond that to their parents, to their grandparents. And that's a significant thing. And I want you to think about the example of Jesus. John chapter 19. What does Jesus do? In the moment of crucifixion, he's hanging on the cross. And who is there? His mother is there. And the disciple whom he loved is there. And he continues to honor his mother and father however he can. And in this moment of death, he wants her to be continued to be cared for. He wants her to be looked after. He wants to pass on this responsibility of being the oldest in his family to a person that he trusts and that he has invested his life into. And that person ends up being John, not one of Jesus' other brothers, but it's John. Sorry, my fingers are a little slow flipping there. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister Mary, and the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. To honor our parents, to honor our father and mother, is to be responsible for them in all the love and nurturing care that we can provide for as long as it's required. That's to please God. That's to put our religion into practice. Now, if we needed any motivation for this, if we needed any extra incentive for this, not just to repay them and know how much they have invested in us and know how much they have had to deal with our stuff, baggage, problems, issues, drama. Hopefully they've had to deal with some blessing and some joy, and they've been able to celebrate some great things and great experiences along the way in our life. And that has been wonderful. Hopefully that's been wonderful for them. But this extra love, motivation, blessing, whatever this is, that you may live long in the land, that you may live long, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. This is this blessing that God is trying to share with people, with His people. The blessing of raising up a family who love Him and care about Him, and to see those children care and love about Him. To hear your son say a prayer for the first time publicly. To read those stories and to hear him respond to those stories. There is tremendous blessing in all of those things. And to recognize that to do this, to live that out in our life, is pleasing to God. Colossians 3:20 said this is what's pleasing to God. Honor your father and mother, to be obedient to them. Now, I recognize that that not every family situation is ideal. There are family members, mother, father, that there's a relationship that's estranged. It's not well. And maybe they've removed themselves. Maybe you have removed yourself. There, it happens within families. Sometimes it's a son or a daughter. Sometimes it's a parent. And I realize that. And I want us to be challenged by a couple of passages and be encouraged by a couple of passages. The first one of those is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And you're probably thinking, whoa, wait a second. That's the passage on divorce and remarriage. But there's a principle within this passage that I think applies to all relationship. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in the midst of, you know, Paul's instruction on marriage and divorce, he says something that's, I think, pretty significant. And I think would help us in difficult relationships, in estranged relationships, to know what we should be doing. What's our responsibility in those moments, in that relationship? And he says in verse 15 and 16, he says, "But if an unbeliever leaves," and he's talking about in the case of a marriage, and one is being faithful to God, "but if the unbeliever leaves, let him do so. A believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife?" So there's this principle here. And he's talking about two people who are joined in marriage, but at the moment at which one of them has become a follower of God and the other one has not. Well, that's not all that different from an estranged relationship within the family. We're following God. Someone's having difficulty in their life. There's difficulty of relationship. The passage says, live at peace. How do you know whether or not it's going to be you and which is going they're going to be saved by? And we might ask ourselves, well, I haven't reached out, I haven't called, I haven't wrote letters, I haven't, you know, tried to, you know, make contact. That might be the start. The responsibility, God is pretty clear with what we're to do. That carries over into the New Testament as we have seen Jesus' example of how he has lived his life in obedience and honor to his mother and taking care of her even when he was gone. And we see that responsibility is for us. Even if that relationship is estranged and difficult, Scripture is encouraging us to be the light, to be mature in our faith, to be able to handle the difficulty that comes at us, because we know that it's not just us. We get to rely on our Heavenly Father, who can help us with the right heart and the right words, that within that conversation, within us trying to express our love, within that moment of us trying to express how much we care and want to repair that relationship or to help bring a family closer together, God gets to work within all of that. And God, we have to allow God to work within us, to be that light within us. And so my encouragement to you is not just to honor your parents. That's the commandment. That's from God. To obey them, to be responsible for them, and to take every opportunity that you have before you to instill God's promises, to instill God's blessing, and to be grateful for every opportunity that you have to be with family, with your loved ones, to show gratefulness and appreciation, to hold their hand, to pray with them, to invite them into your home, and to live in such a way that they see God and God's love working through you. And so, your faith will be seen. And then it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. If you would like to respond to God's invitation, or if you have any need tonight, I ask that you come and make your request known while we stand and sing our invitation song.